This is America on the Road, winner of the International Automotive Media Conference Gold Medal Award for Radio, and now in its 24th year on the air. Thanks for being with us as we bring you the latest automotive information from around the world. That's what you want. You don't want that old automotive information. You want the latest information. That's what we're here for. America on the Road is brought to you by DrivingToday.com and the Coalition for Vehicle Choice. I'm Jack Nerad. With me is Chris Teague, who has recovered from being under the weather last week. Chris, glad you're with us.
I'm glad to be here. Sans hiccups this time. I'm feeling a lot better.
Yeah, you're better. Better on radio without the hiccups. I mean, that's kind of a radio truism. You can say that across the board. It's not just for automotive radio shows, but it's for all kinds of radio shows. Hiccups, radio, not so good. You are based in Maine. What's going on in Maine today?
Just the last gasps of summer heat this week. I think we're closing in on 90, so we're getting good use out of the kiddie pool and our sparsely populated beaches.
Ah, sparsely populated beaches because of disease, I imagine, and not many people traveling.
That and a shark attack, yes.
Oh, a shark attack. Wow. Okay. Yeah. A little bit of Jaws. I mean, we should do the sound effect. Okay. Things are actually very pleasant here on the West Coast. I'm in Southern California in the South Bay area near Los Angeles, and very pleasant day today. Although the ocean fog was rolling in, my daughter works downtown in the little town in which I live. And the ocean fog was rolling in. Even though it's sunny at my house, which is about 3/4 of a mile from the beach, it was foggy at the beach. So that's what we get. But that's what's going on here at America on the Road. Of course, we're cross-country reporting on vehicles for you. In the road test segment, we're going to be talking not about the weather, but about the Volvo XC90 T6R design. I love these vehicles with multi-names. You have to talk and talk and talk just to identify them. And you were driving what?
The 2020 Lincoln Corsair. It was quite a plush week.
Ah, yeah. Very good for you. Our special guest today is Brian Williams. He is the product strategy manager for Kia Motors North America. And we're going to be talking about the all-new Kia K5, which is their replacement for the Kia Optima. You know, the sister ship, I guess, of the Hyundai Sonata. A vehicle we like quite a bit, so we'll be talking with Brian about that. Before we do that, though, let's talk about news. What you got?
Let's do that. Well, some big news on the truck front, or at least for people who love big muscle-bound trucks. The Ram TRX, should be debuting next week, I believe, August 17th at noon, 9 a.m. your time on the left coast, Jack. Ram is going to stream it on Facebook and YouTube, and there'll be sales will start in the coming months. So this is the one that is expected to sport the supercharged V8 from the Hellcat, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
I believe you're correct, and it should be one awesome truck. It certainly is an awesome-looking truck. I mean, there's a lot going on in that design, but for people who like their truck, you know, kind of tarted up with some good-looking stuff. You know, the TRX is the thing for them.
Yeah, the Raptor's been kind of the only game in town in that regard, unless you wanted to spend six figures on an extremely powerful custom truck from Roush or somebody. So this will be good to drive that market as if we needed another truck, but I welcome it with open arms.
Yeah. Well, the market is certainly demanding them, and like you say, the Raptor seem to be the only game in town on that performance full-size truck area. I'm surprised others haven't really jumped into that pool, but certainly Ram is doing so, and I think they're going to be pretty successful with it.
Totally agree.
Another thing we should point out, you know, completely different subject, is this is the time of year when, sadly, some children die just being stuck in a hot car with the windows rolled up. And, it seems amazing that this continues to happen year after year after year, and that people actually forget about the fact sometimes that they have children with them. They lock the car up, go inside, and go, oops, and come back an hour later, and the child is inside. So by all means, this is something that the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is pointing out. Pay attention. There is not any such thing as, I'll just be in the store for a minute. Just do not leave your children in a locked-up car in the summer. It's just, it very, very dangerous to their health.
It's not an easy mistake, but it is a very big deal. I know that some manufacturers have started looking at sort of air conditioning the cabin. Was it Tesla has a dog mode? Definitely not intended for person use, as far as I know. But yeah, definitely don't be leaving.
Well, and some manufacturers are putting warnings in the car, at least the warning the driver to look around the car before they get out. And, you know, certainly that's a wise thing to do if you have young children. I guess you can forget the fact that you're driving with your child. But that doesn't relieve you of the responsibility for that child. And the consequences are, as we say, deadly. Cars can heat up 20, 30, 40 degrees in just 10 minutes time, for example. So if you're talking about, if you're 90 degrees there in Maine today, that car can heat up to 120, 130 degrees, possibly in just a fairly short period of time. And that can be life-threatening for your child.
Yeah, it's frightening, but thankfully, auto manufacturers are moving to those, the rear seat alerts. And you did say that a little bit earlier, but if you've opened the back door and don't end up opening it again, once you stop the car, it'll say, hey, you know, did you forget something in the back seat? It's convenient.
Right.
But I will say one thing that has made life very tough, especially in the age of the pandemic, is taking kids into stores is something that we try to shy away from doing. Try to minimize exposure as much as possible. So we've had to take turns, my wife and I, taking, trips to the store so we don't have to end up either rushing through with kids or then trying to negotiate some way to get them in the car, especially while it's been so hot. So not something I'm willing to try.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, the pandemic has all kinds of ramifications, and that's certainly been one of them. And, limiting anybody's exposure when you can is a wise thing to do, certainly. Another thing the pandemic has done has caused a lot of car makers to offer a lot of incentives. And as we have this run-up to Labor Day, there's a ton of money on cars out there, and it's probably a good time to take a look at cars. Of course, one of the things that Ford Motor Company has done, I think we've talked about it a little bit on previous shows, is what they call the Ford Promise. If you face a financial hardship due to loss of employment after you have purchased a Ford, newer used Ford, I think, you can return it within 1 year of purchase. I'm not exactly sure what happens to the money you've already paid on it. I don't think that's refunded to you. But at least you can return it without getting your credit dinged and that kind of thing. Ford is also offering 0% financing for up to 72 months on a lot of its vehicles. One of them is the new Ford Escape compact SUV. Toyota is offering a lot of 0% financing, not for 72, but for 60 months. For example, on the Camry and Camry hybrid midsize sedans. And Chevrolet is taking a different tack. What they are doing is cashback offers based on a percentage of the MSRP. So you can get the equivalent of $5,700 on an Equinox SUV or nearly $8,000 on a Suburban. Of course, there's going to be an all-new 2021 Suburban rolling through soon, and I actually drove one this past week, and we'll be talking about that on a future show. But so there's a lot of incentives out there.
It's interesting to hear that, because for a while it seemed like the manufacturers were starting to pull back on quite a few of those. So seeing them on Suburbans, I actually know one of our colleagues, a mutual colleague of ours, bought a GMC
Yukon. Tahoe. Yukon, right?
Stuff here. Yukon.
Yeah.
The Bentley of the Bible Belt, as he calls it. But he said they got a screaming deal on it, well below anything that he would have expected to pay, simply because there's new, the new models are coming out. So definitely a good time to look into certain models, as you say.
Yeah, and as long as he was going into it with his eyes open and he knew a brand new one was coming out, that's fine. Some people want to get into a vehicle soon after they do a complete changeover, and then the model looks new for several years in a row. If you're over that or don't care about that, buying a vehicle toward the end of its model life isn't a bad thing either.
Well, it should be said the current model is quite good as it is, so there's not a lot to complain about.
Yeah, absolutely. So why don't you go ahead and say that? And
I just said
you just did. Yeah, that's right. Well, when we come back, we'll be road testing a couple of vehicles. We're going to be road testing the Volvo XC90 SUV, a three-row. And you were driving the Lincoln Corsair, another SUV, but I'm not sure how big it is. You are, and you'll tell us about it when we come back.
Absolutely.
So stay with us, everybody. With Chris Teague, this is Jack Nerad with you. We're glad you're with us, and this is America. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road with Chris Teague. This is Jack Nerad with you, and we're so glad you're with us. Thanks so much for being with us. It is road test time. We have interesting road test vehicles, including the Volvo XC90 R design. It's a T6 R design, to be perfectly precise. But before we talk about that, Chris, why don't you tell us about the Lincoln Corsair?
Absolutely. Spent a week in the Lincoln Corsair. I have to say that I had mixed expectations, and I say that because it's a small crossover. So you asked about the size a little bit earlier, Jack. It's a little bit, it looks a little bit bigger than an Escape. It actually rides on the Escape platform. So it's the smallest crossover that Lincoln makes below the Aviator and the Navigator. But it is one of the best looking vehicles I've driven so far this year. It looks absolutely spectacular. Plush ride, everything you'd expect from a Lincoln. Inside is very quiet. The interior is beautifully finished, wood grain and metal accents everywhere. Plush leather seats that in my version had the Reserve 2 package, which brought massaging seats and cooled seats and quite a few other enhancements. So very comfortable inside. My tester had the 2.3 liter EcoBoost 4-cylinder, which is the optional engine. Was not quick, definitely quick enough to move around town, get on the highway and accelerate up to highway speeds. No problems there, but it's definitely not a sporty crossover. It's a little bit expensive, so I think mine topped out at almost $56,000, somewhere around there. And at that price, it's got a lot of very stiff competition from overseas. I think that as good as it is, it could be better, especially when you look at like the Acura RDX, which has maybe not as nice an interior, but a very engaging driving experience. So, you know, kind of a balance there to be struck. I will say that Lincoln and Ford specifically do a good job with infotainment. Sync 3 is on board in the Corsair, so Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, navigation, voice commands, the whole deal. And overall, just a very comfortable cruiser. Families will find that the back seat is a little bit small. My kids climbing over each other to get into the back seat. It is tight, being a compact crossover. So if you've got large car seats or tall adults who need to ride in the back, I think that you may need to find either a bigger crossover or a shorter drive for them to ride in the back, because it could be a little cramped back there.
Yeah, I think the Corsair is a vehicle that is designed for the empty nester, number one. I mean, probably if they take anybody with them, it would be another couple, and it would be out to dinner or to the golf course or something like that. I think it is a fairly specialized niche of people who would be interested in the Corsair. But I think for them, it would be a much better choice than, say, an Acura RDX, because that's just not them. I don't know that they're interested in an engaging driving experience. I think a lot of times Lincoln tries to separate you from the driving experience. And I think there's some people who want that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that for those people who just want a kind of a tranquil place to be, a little serene interior. And I think it strikes me the Corsair is doing that in much the same way that a lot of Lincoln vehicles do that. And there's something to be said for it.
Absolutely. They've been able to bring a lot of those elements down to the smaller size and have done it well. It's finished perfectly. It is absolutely a cocoon once you're inside. So they've done a better job than I think Cadillac did with like the XT4, for example, of creating that sort of isolation. So good for them. But a little bit expensive, a little bit floaty, but I think almost everything else was a hit with me. And the kids loved the big sunroof, and the stereo sounds great. So we could blast kids' music until my head was about to pop off. So
yeah. Well, I mean, there's something about taking a small car and then just piling on the stuff. And it strikes me that that's what they've done in the Lincoln Corsair, that you get a lot of amenities for your 50, 60K.
Agreed. And there's plenty of safety tech too, but we can talk about the Volvo now. I won't hog the whole segment here.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead and hog it. It doesn't matter. Well, I was driving the XC90. I think most of us know what the Volvo XC90 is about. It's a three-row SUV, and it's been a mainstay for Volvo ever since it was introduced. First appeared, I think, in the 2016 model year. So it's been around a while. I think at least in this iteration, it appeared in the 2016 model year. And one of its claims to fame is the Scandinavian design of the interior. And I think there's a lot to be said for that because it's really a differentiator. I mean, the real wood, and it's not heavily finished plastic-looking real wood. It is real wood with real grain in it. Very tastefully done. I have a little bit of Scandinavian heritage, so maybe I like this more than others would, but I just think they do a great job with the interior. My wife loves the seats in the Volvo, just remarked about them almost immediately after sitting in them, how comfortable they are, and after a long drive in them, she liked them even more. So that's something that Volvos have been known for forever and ever and ever. And then there is its gauge cluster and screen. It has a 12.3-inch screen that also serves as gauge cluster. So, you know, Volvo was one of the pioneers, I think, after Tesla of a big digital information screen and information screens in the vehicle, in the center console area. And so, you know, a lot to like about that, too. Although a lot of stuff is buried in that screen, a lot of things that you wish you could had a dedicated knob for are buried in the screen. Less so, I think, in this iteration than previous. But that is certainly something we have seen. We had an R-Design model that comes with Napa leather upholstery. So we like that. Very supple and smooth. And it's a T6, which means it is both turbocharged and supercharged. You know, go figure. 316 horsepower engine. And by both supercharging and turbocharging, you get a nice torque curve all the way across. There's no turbo lag because the supercharger takes care of that. And then as you go into the upper ranges, the turbocharger takes over and, you know, plenty of power. Our design is quasi-performance vehicle, so we like that quite a bit. Pairs up nicely with the all-wheel drive. There are driving modes that are useful. I didn't encounter any snow or inclement weather in Southern California in August, but I'm certain it would handle it with aplomb. And you know, overall, this is just a really likable vehicle. I'm not certain that it is a super cost-effective vehicle. You know, they're fairly pricey. But just a lot to like about the Volvo XC90.
I'll agree with you, and I'll echo the praise of the interior. I think they've done a really good job with less is more, and especially in the XC90, the larger form factor, everything is not quite Spartan or sparse, but it does feel like very clean and warm, even though it's clean. I've made that comment, and people always say, well, is it cold and feel sterile? And it doesn't. So I think they've done a good job with that balance. And in terms of infotainment, they have done very well in recent years. There is still some baffling gestures in terms of swiping to get out or get into a menu and to reach some of the features. So definitely agree with you on the dedicated button there. And I can say that it does quite well in the snow. I was able to test one late last year in Maine, which is ripe for a snowstorm at any given point in time. And we happen to have one. So very sure-footed in the snow. All-wheel drive works very well.
Yeah. And interestingly, I did that whole spiel without talking at all about safety, but it certainly is loaded with safety equipment. Standard forward collision warning, automated emergency braking, blind spot monitoring, rear cross traffic alert, lane departure warning, a bunch of stuff. Rated as a top safety pick by the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. Five-star rating from NHTSA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. So, you know, Volvo XC90 certainly lives up to Volvo's safety reputation, and it's just an all-around likable vehicle.
I agree.
Good. Well, when we come back, we will be taking your listener questions. So look out for that. We're looking out for it, too. With Chris Teague, this is Jack Nerad back with you, and we're glad you're with us. And stay with us for that next segment on America on the Road. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road with Chris T. Gackney Red, back with you for question and answer time. The way we do it is you provide the questions, we try to provide the answers, and we'd love to hear from you. It's easy to reach us. Send your questions to editor@drivingtoday.com. That's editor@drivingtoday.com. We won't insult you by spelling that out for you. I'm sure you can reach us, and we'd love to have your question, and we'll answer it on an upcoming show. And Chris, I think you might have a question from a listener for us. What is that question?
I do. The question is, does Apple CarPlay, do features like Apple CarPlay and Android Auto actually make you safer while you're on the road? Do they reduce distractions? So I'll get your thought, Jack, before I spiel on for a little while.
Okay, and I'm sure you have some thoughts on that too. But I think largely they do, at least to a point. And the reason I say that is I think at least people know how to work Android Auto and Apple CarPlay. They're acquainted with their phones and how they work, so there's no learning curve there. So it's less distracting to deal with something that you know how it works versus otherwise. At the same time, I think you can get caught up in a lot of stuff. The fact that Apple CarPlay appears in your display unit on your console is useful to the extent that you have touch screens that enable you to do that. That's helpful. But every time you're looking over there, you're not looking down the road. So I would say kind of it's a mixed blessing.
And the experts at AAA would agree with you, Jack. They would tell you that while Apple CarPlay and Android Auto live in the dash of your car and don't take as much of your attention as holding a phone and tapping away at a tiny screen would, they're still taking your eyes off of their full-time job while you're driving, which is monitoring the road ahead of you and the traffic around you. So as you said, it is a mixed bag. And I will say that as technology sits right now, Apple CarPlay and Android Auto basically run on top of the infotainment system that's already in your car or vehicle. So to access the other features like climate controls or even just get on and listen to FM or radio or satellite radio, you've got to fiddle around with it even further to then dive out of Apple CarPlay or Android Auto and back into the vehicle's original interface. So from a few perspectives, it could be very distracting, but at the end of the day, it's less distracting than holding your phone while you're driving.
So do you agree with AAA? Do you think that having used at least one of those systems in a wide variety of cars that they actually help you avoid distraction?
I think they do, but like you said, and like I think I said too, it's you're still poking around at something that is not the road, right? You're still looking down at the dash and you're still trying to figure something out. And I'm the biggest Apple nerd you'll ever meet, and even I have trouble figuring it out sometimes, like where I need to go to do something. So I think there's definitely some distraction there.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt when you're doing something other than focusing on the road ahead and focusing on the task of driving, it can be a problem. So we have to watch out for that, and at the same time, we often want that information that's provided by those devices. So it's a balancing act. Mm-hmm. And speaking of a balancing act, Kia is balancing keeping the name Optima with changing it into something else. And we're going to be talking with Brian Williams of Kia about that and about the all-new Kia K5. So stay with us for that with Chris Teague. This is Jack Nerad. And we're glad you're with us right here on America on the Road. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jack Nerad back with you, and happy to be with you, and happy to have a great guest for you. Brian Williams is a product planning manager for Kia Motors America on sedans. Thanks so much for being with us, Brian.
My pleasure. I'm happy to be here today and talk about the all-new 2021 K5.
Good. I don't even have to introduce it. I like that. The K5 is the successor to the Kia Optima. Tell us a bit about it.
So, yeah, this K5 is really a paradigm step forward from the Optima. Optima, for us, had a decade-long run that saw it make a mark for our brand and the auto industry as a whole. And we want to, with this new K5, make that next step to reset expectations in this midsize sedan market. Something that's on an all-new platform that's longer, lower, wider, lighter. It has more responsive handling, but still a comfortable ride. All new turbocharged lineup standard with two different options, a bunch of new available convenience and advanced driver assistance technology, So we see this car as really being the next step for Kia in the sedan segments.
It seems like the new K5 is a little schizophrenic, and I mean that in the best way of the term, because there's really kind of two options. Talk a bit about those, would you?
In terms of the design side of it or in terms of the powertrain?
Well, all of it, really. I think you kind of have your everyday mild side, and then you have the maybe wild side.
Absolutely, yeah. So I'll talk about like in the design style. This is actually the first time for our midsize sedan, well, with an all-new K5, but we have a two-track design where we have more of a traditional mainstream look and a more sporty look on our GT lines and our GTs. You know, they're very similar body designs, but there are differences front and rear as well as interior pieces. But in terms of the bigger picture, this car is really going to be able to offer what midsize sedan segment buyers and what our research has shown is they love a car that has that great handling, the practical trunk space, the efficiency. You know, they might have a SUV in the garage or they might just prefer sedans, but this really gives customers that sedan styling and handling they like. But for that everyday driver, we put a lot more standard convenience technology in that will help the everyday driver that we can talk about. And it also offers at the top end, we have our new 2.5 turbo that's 290 horsepower, 311 pound-feet of torque, paired with new bigger brakes, 8-speed dual-clutch transmission, paddle shifters. So it's really going to give customers either the everyday convenience they want or for that buyer that's looking for the performance of it, enhanced performance over our standard 1.6 turbo.
Yeah, let's dig into the performance a little bit. Certainly that's a differentiator for you versus kind of your sister ship from Hyundai, the Hyundai Sonata, a car we've liked a lot here on America on the Road. Tell us about the thinking there and you know, what's the plan performance-wise?
I think as Kia as a brand in whole, I'd like to say that, you know, we're focused on bringing out sporty sedans and rugged SUVs, and that's really a direction we want to take as a company. And this K5 helps push that sporty sedan. You know, we've had a lot of success with the Stinger, and this is going to bring in some of that DNA from the Stinger. You're going to get the sporty looks on this car, inside and out, with the newer design, but you're also going to get the performance to match. Even with our standard 1.6 turbo, we're offering increased torque, increased efficiency, the new 8-speed automatic transmission, and you know, the platform's all new, as I mentioned. It's longer, lower, wider, and lighter. All new suspension that's really going to give it more stable handling and more responsive handling, but still give it that comfort. So we're going to increase the sporty handling, the power of this vehicle with that available 2.5 turbo and 8-speed dual clutch transmission as well, but still give customers the everyday driving they need.
Right. And do you look at the performance model as kind of a halo car for the line or something that is more than that? By that, I mean, is going to give you significant volume as well.
This is going to be an okay volume for us, but it is a halo for us. The GT and the GT1 package will be our halo, and that's really going to push that sport performance side of it.
And I think it's something you want for the brand, right? I mean, it goes well beyond just this model line. You want to, don't let me put words in your mouth, but characterize how you want the Kia brand to be pictured versus some of the other brands out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Kia has really established itself, and it's always had a reputation for good value. And for the sixth year in a row, we've led for a mass market brand and initial quality. So high quality, high value. But again, this brand, with where we're going, we really want to push the sporty sedan and rugged SUV side of it. K5 pushing that sporty sedan in terms of looks and handling as well as performance is really going to push it in that area for us. This is kind of a signal of where our cars and our sedans are going. We've had a lot of success with even our Forte on the GT lines. Well, this car is also having those GT lines. So carrying over the performance in all sedans, including, like I said, pulling in some of that DNA from Stinger.
Right. Let's talk about the renaming of the vehicle. Certainly car companies invest millions of dollars establishing particular brand names for their models. Optima, pretty well regarded, as you said, you know, scored very, very well in J.D. Power quality surveys, among other things. Give us the thinking about changing the name from Optima to K5.
Absolutely. Well, with Optima, we had a lot of success. As I mentioned, a decade-long run of success with that in the industry that kind of established itself as one of our core models in the brand and really one of the more stylish options in the midsize sedan segment. This K5, we And there's a lot of brand equity in names, but we felt with this new K5, it was such a big shift in design and platform and handling and performance that it really deserved to have its own name and really be able to set its own chapter in the Kia lineup.
Does this signal a shift to alphanumerics, or is this kind of a one-off within Kia? You know, what can we look forward to about based on that?
This is definitely the first alphanumeric from a global naming perspective for Kia. So that would be for the K5. But in terms of other cars, you know, we'll see how those go down the line. You know, as I mentioned, there's a lot of brand equity in names. So while I can't really speak to future naming, we'll decide that kind of as it comes up. And I'm certain that there's still going to be new models that will be disruptive in their segments as they are, no matter what they're called.
Right. As you are doing the product planning, and it's a really interesting process, particularly, I think, for someone working in a different country than the country of origin, let's put it that way. And, you know, so there's a lot of negotiation involved, just a lot involved in dealing with an international product. Talk a bit about that and what you were trying to get out of K5 for the North American market.
Absolutely. With K5, it's actually one of the more fun and unique ones for me in my planning roles, in that a large portion of it is designed in Korea, but it's also designed globally in studios in Europe, as well as a design center here in North America, right in Orange County. But we also build this one now entirely 100% at KMMG in West Point, Georgia. So I also have a strong arm to work with on design from R&D here. You know, for the Korean market, there are some pieces, some technology, some styling aspects that are very unique for their market. But, you know, we have the ability to kind of tune this product for our customers and our market. Some of it's in trim strategy. Some of it's in everyday driving features that our customers appreciate and need more in this market. So it's really a unique experience to kind of take global perspective, but tune it for North American market customers.
Yeah, give our listeners some examples of you know, how that works, be it handling, be it interior pieces, whatever you want to talk about, but those kind of things that kind of make it more uniquely suited to the North American market.
Absolutely. With the K5 and with a lot of our products here, even though some of the tuning may originate outside of this, you know, we have a strong engineering team that's really a pleasure to work with in Hachi. And Hachi is able to kind of tune our cars at the last, you know, let's say 12 months or so, with really the comfort, the ride handling, the tuning and the suspension and the transmission performance. You know, we're able to actually take it to be not too sporty where the ride is too rough. You know, customers in North America enjoy sporty handling, but also want that comfortable ride in a sedan. So I think the ability to work with a local R&D helps us tune it to give it the best balance for our customers. That's something where if you didn't have that, you might get stuck with something that really doesn't match the road type for your customers. And our market is very diverse, as you know. So it enables us to really put a spin on that. One of the things that we're also most proud of with this is, with this car being, you know, so North American market focused for us with this K5, we were able to actually pull in and introduce all-wheel drive for the very first time on this car in this segment for us. And that's something very much North America market customer driven. You know, customers in the Northeast and Central that need that added safety, security, and peace of mind from all-wheel drive, but also the, you know, enhanced performance and kind of drivability characteristics, even on those dry, fair weather roads. So all-wheel drive would be a great example of how North American customers and R&D can help shape a car that starts globally.
Right. I imagine getting 290 horsepower down to the pavement is made easier by all-wheel drive. Is that the case?
Well, in this case, we're actually going to keep all-wheel drive for our launch year on our 1.6 turbo. So the 2.5 turbo with that 290 will not be available in all-wheel drive, but it's something that we're studying and we're watching the customer's feedback from our market, as we always do, to see what the future may hold.
Interesting. Talk a bit about the powertrain lineup. With a turbocharged engine lineup, one strikes me as being more for economy's sake, shall we say, economy and longevity's sake, and the other performance. Talk a bit about the dual turbo strategy, would you?
Absolutely. So with this car and with our market, what we wanted to do with this was, we didn't want to start with a naturally aspirated motor in our base car and then move up to optional turbo. We really wanted the everyday value and practicality and performance that all turbo lineup could bring. So we did a 1.6 turbo standard, And that has some new technology on it with the valves. There are our CVVD technology, which enhances from our last generation of engines on the 1.6. But ultimately, this car is going to give customers the torque they need on a daily driving, the added fuel economy, and the added efficiency. So all customers will benefit from a standard 1.6 turbo with efficiency and power for that more sporty driving, but also real-world usability. And then our 2.5 turbo is really in there at the top of our lineup to give those customers that want that additional horsepower and that torque, that want to add paddle shifters on and really give it that sporty driving. And again, that's they both come with all new 8-speed transmissions, but the 8-speed dual clutch transmission is a wet style on the top 2.5 turbo. It's going to give quick, precise shifting and I think give customers something really fun to look forward to, especially with some yet to be announced, but additional kind of driving characteristics that a Sport Plus driving mode will offer for them when we make announcements later on.
Very cool. Tell our listeners what the WET designation for the dual clutch really refers to.
Yeah, so realistically, there's a dry style and a wet style dual clutch transmission. We'll keep it really simple. Basically, depending on how much power your engine offers, you know, a dry style dual clutch transmission can handle that power. But as power and torque go up, you know, those clutches inside that transmission, they need additional cooling and additional kind of, let's call it comfort, to protect from that added torque. So by putting more, fluid onto those clutches, that's what makes it a wet style. Added performance, added torque capacity, smoother shifting. So gives really next generation performance to the standard dual clutch transmission. And we really needed that with this 311 pound feet of torque.
Yeah, it sounds like we're speaking with Brian Williams of Kia about the new K5 midsize sedan from Kia. Were special efforts made to get all this horsepower, you know, close to 300 horsepower through a front-wheel drive platform is a lot. What special efforts were made to make sure that that's a good experience for folks?
Yeah, absolutely. So that the new power that we're getting with this 2.5 turbo is quite large. But pairing it with that new transmission, that 8-speed dual-clutch transmission, as well as some of our tuning logic and our new Sports Plus mode that will be coming out with this, it really puts the power to the ground nicely in a controlled way. So customers are going to enjoy added enhancements in acceleration and other areas that they expect, but also have it a very practical performance that they can use. So we're looking forward to it and hope our customers enjoy it as well.
Let's bounce back to the more volume model with the lower horsepower turbocharged engine. Certainly, the Kia Optima was a very, very reliable car, high-quality car, just a very good car for commuting in, an all-around five-passenger midsize sedan par excellence. Talk a bit about just the average driver and how they relate to the K5.
So I think the average driver and many other drivers, because it's hard to fit everybody into any certain bucket in terms of what they want and how they want to drive, but K5 with this new 1.6 with our, you know, added CVVD technology on there is really, as I mentioned, is going to give customers the real world torque, you know, from 1500 RPM. They have the drivability they want to not get stuck in traffic, to be able to pull out and accelerate when they need to, but to give them around town driving comfort, give them the added fuel efficiency, you know, the 1.6 that we only had on our EX in the last generation, but now is standard on all, you know, the cars themselves outside the engines too are really going to give customers everyday driving convenience technology standard that we're very proud of. You know, we have that standard transmission and 1.6 turbo. We have a standard 8-inch screen in the inside with the first for Kia wireless CarPlay and Android Auto standard. We also have technologies that certain competitors don't have standard and maybe don't have until two or three trims up, or if at all, in terms of like dual zone, full automatic temperature control for our customers to, you know, be able to have the best temperature for all customers in the car. Standard electronic parking brake, standard lane centering technology, which is our lane following assist, which I have to say is very nice in terms of its ability to compete in the market for lane centering. Standard safety with forward collision assist, pedestrian, rear occupant alert, and, you know, even practicality of customers still enjoy a compact spare in the back of their car. So this is standard compact spare. And I really, and Kia really wanted to package this car to be an everyday driver's best bet and best option out there to give them the technology they need with what will help them every single day.
It seems like Kia has done a great job of decoding infotainment systems to make them usable to the average driver. Talk a bit about that, would you?
Yeah, I'm glad you actually brought that up. We've had a lot of success with Yuvo in terms of great usability and user experience. And what it comes down to is easy to use. There's still lots of features buried in the menus and even some at the top level, obviously, easy to get to. But, Kia and our connected car department have done a lot of work to make sure that our Yuvo entertainment systems are both easy to use, quick to use, and, give customers what they want. One thing that Kia is really happy with this next generation all-new K5 is actually on our available 10.25-inch screen, our navigation, embedded navigation screen. We're actually bringing out a lot of new Yuvo capabilities for them to give a better experience. So the first time we'll offer connected routing navigation, which is much like third-party apps. It gives you real-time traffic data and updated routes to make your most efficient. This is the first time we're going to introduce SoundHound technology, which I'm really happy about. It's basically enhanced voice recognition capability. So what this is going to give our customers is the first time flexible speech commands, the ability to speak to a car more naturally instead of very directed language to control stuff. We also have, for the first time, vehicle control via voice. So you're seeing voice expand in the cockpit for the user experience to improve it. Being able to control stuff like climate, seat heating, steering wheel, and other elements all by your voice with natural language. Stuff that we typically only saw in Lux segment before this. All new map care, which is going to give customers really free map updates twice a year for almost 10 years, I believe. And for the first time, we have our new what's magenta themed graphic user interface. So all in all, our Yuvo head units offer a lot of new first technologies for Kia and some in the segment, and are really going to keep customers having the best user experience with the best new voice and navigation technologies.
Well, it really sounds like you are bringing a lot of features. In fact, I kind of hate to be a luxury car maker these days to try and figure out how I compete when a popularly priced car like the K5 that can be had in the mid $20,000 range has all these luxury features that we wouldn't have dreamed of having in cars maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think technology is definitely evolving, as we've seen in all markets and all types of commodities. And customers are expecting more and more. They see it with their smartphones, updates every year, different technology added with the next generation. And, customers' expectations are there for new tech. And Kia as a brand is continuing to be on the forefront to bring customers that new tech in an affordable and also very usable way. And some of these Yuvo technologies we mentioned, as well as new driver assistance technologies, are really going to bring it there. We're even bringing out new driver assistance technologies on the K5, adding to its already standard and very well-equipped driver assistance. All new lane following assist, which I mentioned, is standard. That's not just, the lane alert with a slight assistance to keep you in. It has that, but it also has all new lane centering to help the driver stay centered in their lane to make driving more convenient, less stressful, especially on commutes. But we're also bringing out our new highway driver assist technology with navigation linked smart cruise control. What this is going to give you is a car that now used to only be in the Lux segments, but is now into the non-Lux, at least on this car and some of our other Kia models, the best lane centering we can offer at this price point to give customers stress-free driving, to predict curves coming up and slow down, see speed limits changing up ahead and slow down, and really help the driving experience.
Yeah, well, just so much to offer out of the new K5. When are our listeners going to be able to see the vehicle in showrooms and do some test driving?
So if I'm not mistaken, they should be in showrooms now and available. Early July was the start of wholesale, as I understand it. So they should be able to see these in dealerships now or very soon.
Sounds terrific. Well, Brian Williams of Kia, anything else you'd like to add before we let you go?
I'd just like to say thank you for the opportunity to come and share some news on this all-new K5 with your listeners. Hopefully they take a look at this vehicle and see some of the everyday convenience and also the fun to drive performance we've added to it. We at Kia know that, you know, the midsize sedan segment is still strong for the customers that appreciate sedan styling and handling. And I believe this new platform and powertrain and technology is going to give somebody a great car. And I hope that people take a look at it and see what they think.
Yeah, they're going to like the looks, that's for certain. Brian Williams, thanks so much for being with us. We do appreciate it, and we hope to talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
And stay with us, everybody. We'll be right back right here on America on the Road. And that was our interview with Brian Williams of Kia. He is their manager of product strategy, talking about the all-new K5 from Kia. We look forward to driving that in the near future. Pretty cool-looking car. I'd also like to thank our indubitable, unmentionable, absolutely incredible co-host, Chris Teague, for being with us yet again and for recovering from that horrible thing that came upon him last week. Thanks so much for being with us, Chris.
Well, thank you. Now I'm blushing too much to actually speak here. But I will speak long enough to ask people, if you do like what you've heard and you like what we're saying here and don't want to disagree with us too wholeheartedly, please leave us a review and a rating wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, anything like that would really help us continue to grow and climb up those charts.
Right. And speaking of climbing up the charts, I think you can climb up the charts in your dealings with other people. If you were to read my book, which is called The GR Factor, Harnessing and Unleashing the Undeniable Power of the Golden Rule, something we practice here on the show, and we hope you enjoy that. And I think if you enjoy the show, you'll enjoy my book. And it's available at Amazon and wherever books are sold, Barnes & Noble, you know, Apple Books, et cetera, et cetera. So look for that. And thanks so much for being with us. We absolutely do appreciate it. And again, Chris, you're always terrific on the show, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack.
And join us again next time right here on America on the Road with Chris Teague, Jack Nerad, signing off and reminding you that we'll be back again next time right here on America on the Road.